I feel truly blessed. I wonder if you've ever said that or thought that. I feel truly blessed. It's the kind of thing we say, isn't it, when we're holding a newborn baby or celebrating our wedding anniversary or having a birthday party surrounded by our friends. I feel truly blessed. Maybe it's the kind of thing we feel when we see something rare and spectacular and beautiful. Or perhaps it's the sort of thing we might say when we look at the lives of others and we realize what we have. I feel truly blessed. Happy. Content. Privileged. Fruitful. Satisfied. Fulfilled. Blessed. But if you were here last week as we looked at Matthew chapter 4, you might remember that when Jesus started preaching, the very first thing he said was, repent. And as we were thinking about last week, as Mike from St. John's was helping us to think about last week, repent literally means to change our minds. Our minds, our hearts have a tendency to head off course, to wander away from the truth. They're like shopping trolleys that always seem to go one way or the other. And Jesus came to bring us back, to put things right, to show us what is true. And the place he starts, the place he chooses to start, is what we understand by what it means to be blessed. So let me pray for us that God would help us to understand his truth this morning. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have your word to read together this morning. We thank you that they can be reading your word upstairs in the youth groups and down the corridor in creche. Lord, please would you give us ears to hear and minds that understand and hearts that believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Hopefully you've still got it open in front of you. It says this: now when he, that's Jesus, saw the crowd, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. This week we're starting a block of teaching that's going to run from Matthew chapter 5 all the way through to the end of chapter 7. We're going to be looking at it from now until the summer, and it's become known as the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus was on a mountain. And someone once described the Sermon on the Mount as probably the best known, arguably the least understood, and certainly the least obeyed part of Jesus' teaching ever. Probably the best known. You'll come across things, if you've never been to church before, that you recognize, because they're just part of our everyday language. Probably the best known, arguably the least understood, and certainly the least obeyed part of Jesus' teaching ever. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, wants to change our thinking. He wants to reset or recalibrate or retune our minds. And even though he first preached it 2,000 years ago, I think what we'll see still carries a lot of weight. It hasn't lost any of its punch in those 2,000 years. Jesus wants to change our understanding. He wants to turn our thinking on its head, to show us where we've gone wrong and to help us to see the joy of what is right. And the first thing he wants to show us is what it means to be truly blessed. And to help us, he gives us 8 or maybe 9 examples. So first of all, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. A friend of mine who's a minister once sent this picture to everyone in his congregation. Sent it to them in the middle of the week, and underneath he wrote, this is how we come to church. See you on Sunday. If you think you're sorted, if you think you're strong, if you think everything is right between you and God because you're one of the good guys or one of the good girls, well, then you'll never listen to Jesus. You'll never learn the truth. And you'll miss out on being blessed now and on heaven forever. But if you feel like this, if you know you're poor in spirit, Jesus says, well, then you're blessed because you're ready to meet God. Secondly, he said, blessed are those who mourn. Verse 4. Well, that just goes to show the Bible doesn't make any sense, doesn't it? Because it doesn't seem to make sense, does it? We mourn when we're sad. We mourn when we're in pain. We mourn when we've lost or when we feel lost. But Jesus says, if you're his disciple, well, then even when you mourn, you are blessed. Why? How? Well, he says, because you will be comforted. Now, don't miss what Jesus isn't saying. He's not saying that if you're his disciple and you follow him, that you won't mourn, that life will be easy. He doesn't say that at all. No, we live in a broken world. But if you live your life trusting in and believing in and following Jesus, well, then he says, even when you mourn, even in the depths of loss, you'll be reminded how much more through Jesus you have gained. When you feel unloved or uncared for or unnoticed, if you know Jesus, well, then it will remind you and you can remember that you are more loved by your Heavenly Father than you could possibly imagine. When you feel alone and scared, you'll be able to remind yourself you're never alone. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is always with you. You don't need to be afraid. If you choose to follow Jesus, there will still be times in this life when you are in pain, but it won't end there. Instead, your pain can remind you that one day you will live in a world without pain. And without sadness. And without sickness. Do you see, without Jesus, mourning is a dead end street. There is no answer. There is no explanation. There is no hope. But for the believer, mourning is a road that leads to hope. Sure and certain and rock solid hope. So blessed are those who mourn, Jesus says, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, Jesus says, for they will inherit the earth. The world says it's a dog-eat-dog world. There are no freebies in life. If you want to come first, you've got to put yourself first. That's what the world says. That's what our world leaders say. And on Instagram and TikTok, it looks like they're right. But friends, Instagram isn't real life. And TikTok doesn't tell you the truth. The world leaders and the influencers, our world leaders, are making a miserable world where they never get what they want. Jesus says the opposite. Blessed are the meek. He says, And if you follow Jesus and follow his example and serve others and put other people first and yourself last, you will inherit the earth, Jesus says. Which leads on to the fourth beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you make obeying God and following him and living his way what you long for, well, then you will be filled, Jesus says. You will be satisfied. And not because you've lowered your standards. That's what the world says. Buddhism says the only way out of disappointment is to empty yourself of all passions. Lower your standards so much that you get what you aim for. Nothing. But that's not what Jesus says. No, Jesus says if you follow him and go his way and make that your ambition, you will be filled. You'll inherit the earth, he says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and blessed are the merciful. The rallying call of our world is, that's not fair. That's not fair. Jumps to our lips. And springs to our hearts and fills our mind, I would guess, at some point every day. And there's a part of that that's right and good. God is a God of justice. But do you know the problem with mercy? The problem with mercy is it's not fair. Mercy is not giving people the punishment they deserve. And we don't like that because it's not fair. We don't like that idea until we become followers of Jesus. And we realize that mercy is exactly what we need. When you come to God, when you meet Jesus on the pages of the Bible, what you discover is that you and I deserve to be God's enemies, to be punished by him for our rebellion and rejection of him. That's what we deserve, and yet he loves us, and he wants to show us mercy. Becoming a believer means coming back to him and receiving that mercy. And when we know that mercy, friends, when we've experienced that mercy for ourselves, well, then we love to show mercy to others. Not because the other person deserves it, but because we know we didn't deserve it either. When you come to know Jesus, you come to love showing mercy because you've been shown mercy, and that makes you blessed. And it makes you pure, blessed of the pure in heart as well. The world says, be true to yourself. Be yourself. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. That's the way to be blessed, says the world. What does Jesus say? Blessed are the pure in heart. Which means blessed are those who realize that they're not perfect. Those who realize their hearts and minds are shopping trolleys that wander away from the truth. But those who are seeking to live God's way as best they can with all their heart. And again, I think it leads on to the next beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers. The way to life is not through other people or at the expense of other people. The way to the blessed life is not to fight and come out on top to be the biggest dog in a dog-eat-dog world. It's to seek peace. That's God's way. And if we go God's way, Jesus says, we will find our identity in him. As his sons and his daughters. And finally, we get two beatitudes rolled into one. When we're told that blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Look at verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, friends, I know we have raced through all of that. And I hope you've seen, as we've raced through it, that each of these Beatitudes is worth a sermon. Or maybe a book that you could read. Maybe, I don't know, between now and Easter, that costs £3 and is available on the shelf at the back. It's worth studying each of these Beatitudes because they are so wonderful. But I want to take them as a whole and see what Jesus is doing. He is turning our thinking on its head, isn't he? He is urging us to repent, to change our minds. How can you feel blessed when you are persecuted? How can you rejoice and be glad when people insult you and hate you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you? Well, Jesus expands on that in John chapter 15, where he says this: if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Being persecuted for following Jesus is a blessing, because it's one of the surest signs that we're following Jesus. And if we are following Jesus, well, then ours is the kingdom of heaven. Then we will be comforted. Then we can be sure one day we will inherit the earth. Then there's no doubt that we will be shown mercy and we will see God, and we are truly his sons and daughters. This is the way to be truly blessed, Jesus says. So let me, for a moment, speak to those of you who are believers here this morning or watching online. Friends, Jesus wants you to know, Jesus wants you to feel and to be sure and to enjoy the fact that you are blessed. Not just when you're holding your newborn baby, or celebrating your wedding anniversary, or a birthday, and you're surrounded by friends. You are blessed, Jesus wants you to know, even when you're not. In fact, to be faithful to Jesus' words here, I think we need to go further than that. If you are a follower of Jesus, and somebody else is holding their newborn baby, and you wish it was you, but you can't have children. If you are a follower of Jesus and you're at somebody else's wedding anniversary and you've never been married, or your marriage ended in divorce. If you're a follower of Jesus and you see other people who seem to always be surrounded by friends, while you feel that you have none. Friends, it's okay to feel sad. It's right to mourn. You can take those cares and those struggles and those heartaches to your Heavenly Father in prayer. But you can also, even then, know that you are blessed. Which is why I think blessed is not the same as happy. We might not always be happy. We won't always be happy. But if you believe and trust in Jesus, if in this life you are living, following him, well then no matter how you feel, you are blessed. Why don't we always feel blessed? Well, because our thinking is upside down. Because so often we're listening to the world, and we're listening to Instagram, and we're listening to TikTok or the TV and the world around us, and letting them teach us what it means to be blessed. Instead of listening to Jesus. So friends, let him change your mind. Ask him to help you to repent. Ask him to help you to listen to him more than the world, and let him show you the truth. And what you will find is that even in life's hardest situations, you are blessed. You are blessed. Do you know there's a book in the New Testament that's known as the Book of Joy? Because it talks about joy and rejoicing over and over and over again. It's only 104 verses long, and it talks about joy and rejoicing 20 times. Just think about that. Imagine if every fifth sentence you said was about rejoicing. It's a book all about joy, but what's so incredible about that book is that it was written, it's called Philippians, it was written by a man called Paul, who wrote it in chains, who was wrongly imprisoned and awaiting his execution. And he was full of joy because he was blessed. And he knew he was blessed. He'd let Jesus turn his thinking upside down and teach him the truth. Friends, if you know Jesus, you are blessed. And let me speak just briefly to those of you here this morning who maybe aren't followers of Jesus yet. Here's what you need to know. That you will not know blessing until you know Jesus. These few verses, which we call the Beatitudes, they're wild, aren't they? They are wild and they are wonderful. Because they hold out to you and me the opportunity to be truly blessed. Friends, the world has it wrong. It's looking for the right things. It's looking for blessing. And God made us for blessing. But we don't find them apart from him or away from him. We find them by coming to him. And if we're honest, we know that, don't we? We are the 1%. We are some of the wealthiest, healthiest, smartest people, not just on earth, but in the history of the earth. So are we also the most blessed? Are we those who feel most blessed and most content and most fulfilled and most satisfied? You don't need me to tell you. Of course we don't. No, we're also the people with the highest suicide rate and mental health issues and cases of depression the world has ever known. And the world's only answer when what they offer you doesn't bless you is to say, have more, get more. Friends, the world has got it wrong. I'm reading a book at the moment called Everything is Never Enough. And it's true, isn't it? Even if you have everything the world tells you you need to be blessed, you won't be blessed. You'll be terrified of losing it. And one day you will. Friends, Jesus says to you, come and be blessed. Come and find true blessing. Come and follow him. And if you hold your newborn baby in your arms, and if you celebrate your wedding anniversary or your birthday, rejoice. In fact, you'll rejoice even more because you'll know the one who gave you those wonderful gifts. But you see, if you know him, then even on the day you feel the weight and shame of your sin, even on the days when your cheeks are stained with tears, even on the days when you feel yourself at the bottom of the pile, even on the days when you are struggling to live the right way, even on the days when you're trying to forgive as best you can, even on the days when you realize your ambitions are no longer going to become a reality, even on the days when you're struggling for peace, even on the days when you're persecuted, Jesus says, you'll be able to rejoice. Because you'll know, you'll be reminded that you are still blessed. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, the longing of our hearts is to be blessed, is to feel blessed. And without you, there are fleeting glimpses of that in life, if we're lucky. But we thank you for these amazing promises that Jesus gives, that with you, we can know that we are blessed and even rejoice that we are blessed, whatever happens in life. So, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help turn our thinking upside down, help turn our thinking the right way up, so that we might discover how to be blessed through you, with you, from you, forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.